All right, everyone, on today's episode of Nothing Major, we're going to break down the results from Cabo, DC. We've got U.S. Open mixed doubles to chat about and a few other things, so let's get going.
Jack Jones, Stevie and Sam, got close a few times, never won a slam, nothing major.
Welcome back. We got the usual trio back. Steve Johnson, John Isner, myself. We are... Oh, yeah, and the suits, of course. I forgot about the suits. Suits are with us at SIFT as well. Three of us are back from Cabo. We were boots on the ground in Cabo the last 3 days. It was a fun little trip for the Nothing Major guys. Stevie is coming to us live from Montreal. He's there this week. We'll all be in Cincy. John will be in Winston-Salem. We'll all be at the Open. Basically, we got boots on the ground at every tournament moving forward. So we're going to have some good information, some good facts coming your way. Let's start with DC. We finally got some good tennis on our hands. We talked about it the last few weeks after Wimbledon. It's that tough 3 week stretch in the calendar where it's not that exciting, but we are back. We are back with some big tournaments. Start with DC. Stevie, I'm going to go to you. We're halted in the final right now. Fritz and Hodar both making runs to the final. It rained in DC yesterday, so we will hopefully have those finals results today. It could rain again. We don't know. How's Stevie Fritz? He's taking out Zizou Bergs, Majer Jack. He took out Mickelson in an incredible match in the semifinals where he saved match points. Fritz looks like he's back in good form. And do you think he, you know, is back to that the form maybe that he's been playing his best tennis at in the past?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's for Fritz, the only thing that really matters for him is health. And right now, he looks to be healthy. Got an injury timeout, I believe in the, I forget which match it was, but that was on the opposite knee of the one that he's had some issues with. So the one thing about Fritz is the tennis will always be there. He's a confident individual. He's incredible on the court, but can he hold up on a hard court? Can the body hold up the way it has been, you know, for the bulk of his career? Because he's playing great tennis, but this is going to be this is a good week for him. U.S. Summer kicks it off into a final here. Had some good wins along the way, so look, it looks like it's going to be just status quo for Fritz. Going to have a big summer and continue to just inch closer to another, you know, year as the top American, in my opinion.
John, the outside of Fritz, some of the top Americans disappointed a little bit. Shelton kind of with a tough loss to Tabillo. Tommy Paul losing early. Francis Tiafoe lost first round there. Francis was amazing on the show last week, by the way. I know everyone listened to it last Thursday, like one of the best interviews ever. Do you think the other Americans, where do you think, I mean, Lerner Tien went out first round in Manorino. Little bit of a slow start for some of the other top Americans, though, would you say?
Yeah, it was a terrible tournament for the other Americans, like awful. I mean, Tommy was a little bit, maybe has a little bit of that wedding hangover. He brought into DC, not actually, I'm not saying he was, right, you know, actually hungover, but you know what I'm saying? Like the come down from the wedding, it was tough to get back into tennis form. I'm not worried about any of these guys. Lerner Tien's loss was, you know, peculiar, losing to, you know, the corpse of Adrian Manarino still out there just grinding. So it's still doing so well, but Francis is super disappointing for him as well. Obviously going out early in DC, that's a tournament he wants to win desperately, but like, I'm not worried about these guys. Nakashima had a great event making it to the semifinals. Fritzy, of course, is Fritzy, but there's so many Americans, right? I mean, you're like, at this, we've talked about this so much. Like, it seems like at any tournament, maybe outside of the really, really big ones, you're at least guaranteed two Americans in the semifinals. It's what we got in DC. But the other players, certainly a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I feel like two of the Americans that we don't talk about a ton, Nakashima and Mickelson, just because there's so many other good Americans, had great weeks, especially Nakashima. He took out Jakub Mencik and Demonauer. And if you know Nakashima like we do, that's not that surprising. Nakashima is so good. He just hasn't had that massive result of like winning a 500 or like a big deep run in a Masters Series or a major. Stevie, for Nakashima and Mickelson, who also had a good week as well, do you think these guys are bound to have a big summer? Or is this Good week, and we'll see what happens.
It kind of depends. I think both guys are a little bit different in that respect. Mickelson was hurt after the French, didn't play anything on the grass, you know, got to Wimby, wasn't quite prepared. And then he does what most people don't like to do. He played a couple challengers after Wimbledon as a guy ranked top 50, took care of business, semifinal, the one in Newport, won the one in Bloomfield Hill. So, and then he has a good week in DC, has match point on Fritz. So I think he's got a big summer ahead of him. I think he's kind of played a lot of matches and the confidence is back. And then for Nakashima, he beats everybody he's supposed to beat. He's such a solid tennis player. I think it just is going to depend as where he lands in some of these bigger draws. Can he get a softer spot to not play the Zverevs or the Felixes here, like in Montreal? Like, you know, getting a win over Demon Hour is huge for him, beating somebody in the top 10. But if you're playing a guy in the top 10 right now, you know, Alex is the one you want to play. He hasn't been overly confident, hasn't won a lot of matches as of late. So, but I think Brandon is just quietly goes about his business. He's ho-hum, and you expect him just to win matches every single week on tour. He's that good.
Speaking of winning matches, Hodar, who's in the finals today against Fritz, there's no stopping this guy right now. Unbelievable clay court season. He played a limited grass court season, only played Wimbledon, I think made third round. Right back to where he left off. Toughest first round of the tournament. He took out Arthur Fils in the first round, 5-3. Took out Musetti along the way. Got a good draw playing Tobillo in the semifinals. John, Hodar is just the real deal at this point. Now, I think we talked about this a couple months ago. I think I said he was going to end the year in the top 10. I don't know if you said it was quite that high. Are you starting to believe that he might end the year top 10, Hodar?
Yes. I mean, if I would need to look at the race, but I would imagine he's top 15 or something in the race. So that is certainly attainable. He's nasty. I mean, his movement is so good. Y'all saw that one point he had against Nishikori, or at least I did. Yeah. He had this crazy point against Nishikori. He was side to side, like 8 consecutive balls, winning the point. He's certainly comfortable in DC's. It's close to where he went to college. I saw that he went to Charlottesville to practice a little bit before he went on to go to DC. He was at the World Cup as well. Seems to be enjoying his time in the States. Like, he's comfortable here, right? And so, like, yeah. To me, it's not surprising that he's in this finals right now, and he could definitely win it if they can get this match underway. He's just unbelievable. To me, it seems like even he's surprised at his level. Like, I don't think he thought he would be this good. He's still so young, 19 years old. He still needs to develop physically, but his skills, his racket skills, particularly on the back and both sides, really, the back and the forehand side, and how he moves. Man, he's got so much room to grow. Such an incredible talent. I mean, he's going to be a mainstay in the upper echelon of the ATP rankings for a long time, obviously, if he stays healthy.
Yeah, well said. The other men's event going on this week, Los Cabos, which we were at, it was so freaking hot the entire time. That was the hottest I've ever been.
The stadium, obviously, they start the match. Can we just talk about Cabo and, like, just let's talk about our experience there? Like, I don't really want to break down the tournament. Yes, like, it was, we will. But, like, our experience there, like, Joffrey and the team had us out there to just be ambassadors, right? It's what we do. We were doing some activations around the tournament. We had such an amazing time. We were there for 3 nights. We got to play golf one day. I mean, to me, it kind of felt like we were just, like, corporate stiffs, you know, traveling, have a golf outing, but we loved it. We got a little break on the golf that day. Wasn't as hot the day we played golf.
It was only 96 degrees, not 110.
But there's a breeze outside of that stadium for the fans to enjoy once the sun goes down. An amazing tournament, and we're so appreciative we got the chance to go there, and I mean, like, for the three of us to hang out and chill in Aspen for 3 days and promote that tournament.
Yeah, no, it was an unbelievable tournament. We also got to do the coin flip for the doubles final. We got to play some putt-putt against some of the local young juniors. We got to watch both finals. We were ambassadoring, and it was awesome. Also, part of our ambassador role was to go to the player party on Saturday night.
That was something.
We showed up around 9:30. It got going around midnight. Like, these Mexicans, they party so late. I mean, good Lord.
There were some characters at that party.
Yes. Oh, gosh. It was the best.
We left early at like 2 a.m.
It was. Yeah, we left early.
We left early.
Yeah, I mean, it was right in the thick of things when we left. I mean, it was an unbelievable party. The people were so great. It was a good time. We had a group chat going with all of our wives, like three of us and our three wives. We just like, you know, we're down there working.
We were working.
You know, but like we weren't working the whole time, right? You wake up in the morning, we had a, you know, we would kind of be on the beach, like having a mimosa or what have you, and sending that into our wives. They were not too happy, but it was a work trip. The three of us didn't go down there to vacation together.
Right. We don't determine where the work trips are.
Exactly.
Correct. You know?
Correct.
So
we do what we're supposed to do. Golf outings, player parties, corporate fun things. That's what we do now.
Do what we do to put some bread on the table for the offspring. But the tournament itself, Arthur Gia takes out Denis Shapovalov in the final. Gia's run to the final. He beat Sun Wu Kwan, Michael Zhang. They took out Cerundolo, then Coleman Wong, then Denis Shapovalov. Gia, I first heard of him at the Australian Open. He lost to Stan Wawrinka in like an epic five-setter. He started the year ranked, what do we have in here, 241. We were courtside for the match. Stevie, go to you. I was impressed with Gia. Solid game, especially on the backhand side, especially on that backhand return, made Shapovalov play a lot of balls. He's going to be into the top 100 now, I think. Yeah, he's going to be 82 in the world. Just a solid overall performance from Gia.
Yeah, super solid. And that, you know, not to, you know, speak on behalf of all of the Frenchmen on tour, but I always felt like you can kind of out-tough the French guys in these tougher conditions. That's how I always felt. But for him, lots of three-set wins, was down and out in a couple of the matches. You know, some straightforward three-set wins for him. He was a tough competitor, was super solid from the ground. Had one hiccup in that final once he was up and setting a break. But then as soon as he got the second break, he closed it out emphatically. I think he won 8 straight points on serve to like close out the match, which is not easy to do. But I was super impressed. His movement was awesome. He was solid from the ground, came forward. Some of the intangible skills were pretty impressive. And, you know, he played better than Chapo in that final. And it was super impressive for him to get a title. I mean, he's still, you know, not quite as well known as some of the other young Frenchmen, maybe. But did he play extremely well. And I see no reason why he's not going to be at least a mainstay in the top 100 with his skills. You know, we'll see what, you know, transpires the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 months, maybe. But I was super impressed with his level, his overall mental ability to, you know, when he lost that break in that second set, he got it right back. It's impressive. That's not easy to do in your first final.
No, you're right. He was rock solid. You said it perfectly. He was up a set and a break, lost that break, broke right back, went out to serve for it, 4 straight points. Great playing. Shapovalov, he was the defending champion. Good run back to the finals. Denis gets to go play in Canada now. We kind of know, we talk about Denis. He could be streaky at times, right? His high is really high, and then he has some lows.
Yeah, he was on the flight with me yesterday up to Canada. You know, just felt like he was kind of emotionally and gassed from he had a battle the night before with Cam Norrie in the semis. Just felt like he just couldn't quite recover as well as he wanted to. The legs just maybe quite weren't there, but it was a good week for both those guys. Obviously, Denis was the defending champion, just falls one match short.
Yeah, he got a little. I call him, so I told you this, guys, I call him Rick Vaughn, wild thing. Yeah. And he had it going in the second set. I mean, he gave away the first break with 3 double faults. And the second break, he had another 2 double faults in that game as well. So wild thing couldn't find the strike zone in that second set, and it cost him. But, you know, when he's slashing in on top of his games, he's a top 10 level player. But he just can't – it's hard for him to find that level consistently. Maybe he can – up in Montreal. I mean, doesn't have that much time to rest, but he's going to have the home crowd behind him. He's got some matches in his system as well, so he could be one to look out for in Montreal. I haven't seen his draw, but he did not play his best in the finals, but he played well up until the finals. Beating Cam Norrie in the semis in those tough conditions is a very, very big win.
He's kind of some people might not think it's a fun watch, but like when we're watching him, you said it, John, he'll like double fault, and then he'll kind of get mad at the coaches. You're like, oh, he's done. But then he'll kind of play great game, and he'll fist pump. He's like, right here, he's getting back. And then he'll give it away.
He has these huge strokes too. It seems like there's no way he can hit the center of the racket with this massive like shoulder turn on the backhand. And it's like, but he does. I don't know. He's got unbelievable timing.
The other event going on, back to Washington, the women's 500 event that had five top 20 women. We had Pegula, Svitolina, Osaka, Schneider, Kalinskaya. Madison Keys ranked 23. She's better than that, but her ranking is 23 right now. That is also halted in a final right now. Jessica Pegula is playing Alex Iala. Pegula is currently up 6-4, 1-2 in this one. Hopefully they get to finish that one today in a few hours. Although when this comes out, if it's not raining in DC, the match will be over. Pegula is, maybe she hasn't played her best, Stevie. You know, she got a bye and then she won in three sets, and then she won 3 and 5 over Kalinskaya. She took out Schneider close. She's the favorite in this one, and Pegula just does what Pegula does and goes deep in every tournament she plays.
Yeah, look, she's just rock solid. I mean, that's just what she does. She's had, you know, maybe some issues at the beginning of the year, just beating a couple of the players that, you know, she kept running into in Rybakina. But she's there. This is another great time of year for her, you know, on these U.S. summer courts. She's very comfortable. She's playing it. I don't think she's playing her best tennis this week, but to be in a final, that's a great sign. You know, she's back into a final. She's going to play herself into some good tennis leading up to the U.S. Open. And again, like, she beats just about everyone she's supposed to beat. And that's a great sign if you're Jess Pegula. Now, you know, she should potentially get a win here over Iala if they ever play this match with the rain. And then that'll just be another confidence boost for her going into the Master Series. She's defending her title here. I'm from Montreal last year. So it's a good way for her to continue to build confidence leading up to the U.S. Open and, you know, in places that she has been very successful at.
How about the Iala, the four women that Iala has beaten so far, just on name recognition? She beat Kenwin Jen, who won the Olympics, Leyla Fernandez, last year's champion. Then she beat Svitolina, and then she beat Osaka. Like, she's the Dragon Slayer. I don't know if she's going to take out Pegula, but like always, the Iala reactions after each win are so emotional and so kind of like endearing. She's got a little work to do. Like we said, she's down 6-4, 1-2. I think what would actually put Iala over the top today would be a little nibble of an IQ bar. And after staying fuel, this episode is brought to you by our Q Bar, our exclusive snack and hydration and coffee sponsor of the podcast, IQ Bar, the hydration mixes, and they have the IQ Joe mushroom coffees. They're delicious. Yella's got to get her hands on one of those before the resumption of this match.
Yeah, and if you're new to IQ Bar, the ultimate sampler pack is probably the best place to start so you can try a little bit of everything instead of just committing to that one flavor.
Yeah, we've talked about how good everything tastes from IQ Bar, but it's packed with clean, delicious ingredients that help keep you physically, and I think most importantly, mentally sharp. The ingredients like magnesium, lion's mane, and a lot more than that. Lion's mane is healthy. We don't know too much about lion's mane, but I've heard of it before, and I know it's good for you.
Who doesn't want lion's mane? And everything is clean label certified, so there's like, you know, it's gluten-free, it's dairy-free, it's got no artificial ingredients, it's clean eating.
Look, and over 20,000 people have already given IQ Bar 5 stars. If you're curious what the hype's about, the Ultimate Sampler Pack is a great place to start.
Yes, we've worked, all of us have worked IQ Bar into our daily routines, whether grabbing an IQ Bar between meetings or mixing one up after a workout, which is most likely what we are doing, maybe not Sam. He's currently on a fast right now.
I had dinner last night.
Okay. Oh, he had dinner last night. I knew it.
Well,
Hold on, let me finish. The IQ Joe mushroom mix is extremely in their coffee mix is awesome as well. It's an easy way to start the day and to not get fueled like with a bunch of sugar, which is most important.
Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text MAJOR to 64,000. Text MAJOR to 64,000. That's MAJOR to 64,000. Message and data terms may apply. See terms for details. Again, thank you to IQ Bar, great partner. Yes, I had dinner last night. When I got back from Cabo, I went straight to the beach with my family. I was like digging holes in the sand. I was playing in the water. So I had dinner at 8 last night. I went 28 hours without eating. I was so hungry. I didn't think I was going to be that active when I landed.
Dude, don't. That's crazy.
What's crazy?
Come on.
What's crazy?
You're stronger than that mentally, I thought. You dig holes every time you go to the beach. That's nothing new. This is what you do.
I know.
I
had to have a little snack.
All right. Well, I gotta run.
You know what? I wanted to text Abby with all the wives to see if you ate anything, and I wish I did. I'm so disappointed that I didn't do that.
We knew he did, though, John. We knew he did.
It was 8 p.m. Yeah. I was getting ready to go to bed. I was like, I can't do it. My stomach was like making so much noise.
All right, fellas, I got to run. Go do my other job.
All right, good Stevie, luck. Thanks See for joining. All right, there was also a WTA event in Memphis. As you guys know,
yes,
we were there last week.
That's where we were at. Yeah, absolutely.
That's also, I don't know what's going on there, but a quick shout out. There's this girl, Christina Lutova. She's 16 years old. She won Memphis. She's only 16. She won like the 12 and under Orange Bowl a few years ago. She's just keep an eye out for that name.
Yeah.
Lutova.
Yeah, that was a great event. We talked about that last week. We were in Memphis. We went from Memphis to Cabo, but that was certainly a great event. Super hot. They dealt with some hot conditions. But yes, that is a name to look out for. Absolutely, Sam.
Definitely. All right, that's winner circles. Let's move on to major news. A big week of news around the tour, just everywhere. We got a lot of major news today. We're gonna start off with Sebi Korda, John, your buddy, a guy that you love picking to play well. We all love Korda. Back surgery. I'm not sure when he's going to return. He has been just hit with the injury plague really throughout his whole career. I mean, if he can get that under control, which that's out of his control. I mean, he's so talented. He beat Alcaraz last year in Miami, but pretty big bummer for Korda. And I mean, I guess wish him a speedy recovery. I don't really know what else there is to stay on that.
Yeah, that's a tough one because everyone remembers that match when he beat Alcaraz in Miami. I mean, he played so well. Obviously, it was on center court, and that's the type of tennis that, like, we know Sebi can play, and then his back acted up on him in the very next match, and now, lo and behold, he's not played since.
Yeah.
And so he had some sort of surgery to relieve all this pain he's dealing with in his back, so hopefully that works, and he's going to be on a protected ranking, and he's got to start climbing again. But he's had a lot of injuries. It's been really tough. So I do think he can get over this, but this is a tough one because he's so talented. He's a top 20 player for sure in my mind. I've played him 3 times. He's so darn good. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, that's what makes tennis. We talk about this. That's what makes tennis so brutal. You're not on a team. You don't have a guaranteed contract. Everything's going great. You're playing well. You know, everyone's talking about you. But if you don't stay healthy, no one's talking about you. Now he's on surgery and he's not making any progress. It's just tennis is brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows this, but this is a good example of how just brutal our sport is. And now he's on a protected ranking, or he will be when he comes back.
Yeah, you sum that up perfectly. The other exciting news: once Cincinnati starts in 10 days, once we get through the warm-up event in Montreal and Toronto, the real Masters Series starts in Cincinnati. Djokovic has announced he's playing. We got Carlos Alcaraz playing there and Sinner. That's going to be awesome. John, are you surprised Novak's playing?
No. I mean, he played Rome, right? Yeah, before Roland Garros. Like, yeah, it's just another feather in the cap for Cincinnati, right? They get Djokovic. I mean, they have everyone there. They get Alcaraz coming back to play Cincinnati. Now they get Djokovic confirming he's going to play. So that tournament's just going to be amazing with all the talent there. But not surprised. I mean, look, he wants to go deep in New York, and he feels that getting some matches in Cincinnati is the best way to do that.
Speaking of New York, the preliminary list for the mixed doubles is out right now. The way this is going to work is the 6 teams with the highest combined singles ranking will get right in. There'll be 8 wildcard teams, and then there'll be 2 qualifying teams this year. They're going to play a little qualifying
about
event.
Qualies. Yeah, I know.
Moving on. But I'm going to read some of the provisional kind of like, these are the teams that have signed up. The official list will be out August 17th, but we got Sabalenka and Djokovic playing. Rybakina and Fritz have played, Andreeva, Rublev, Rude, Świątek. We've seen those teams before. Some of the other kind of new teams, again, we don't know if they're going to play or if they're going to get in, but Lerner Tien and Anna Samova, Iala and FAA, Layla Fernandez and Francis Tiafoe, the Lululemon squad, Taylor Townsend and Alex Zverev, Pagula Draper, Osaka Nishikori, last year's winners, Irani Vavasori are going to be in there. Are any of those teams, John, that I've read so far, you're like, oh, I can't wait to watch that team?
Yes, Gabriela Roos and Nuno Borges.
Okay, I skipped over that one, but that's the one you're... that's funny.
No, they all have star power, so I don't think I could single one out. Like, for me, I don't think Swiatek and Casper are going to win it. I'll say that
good
much.
They made the semis last year. They're pretty good.
Oh, they did. You're right. Yeah.
You're not following along with the mixed doubles.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm surprised, but no Carlos, no Yannick, no Coco Gauff in this.
Yeah.
I think this format's cool. There might not be anything big enough or easy enough to just entice those three particular to play any event the week prior to the US Open.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we'd see at least one of those guys. I mean, like, you know, especially Yannick, like he's gonna be there. I mean, I don't know what Carlos is thinking, right? He hasn't played in so long, so he can't commit to mixed doubles. It's not like playing singles out there. So I don't know if he's keeping his options open to or what it is. But obviously on Carlos's side, they think that playing this mixed doubles event will be a deterrent from him going very deep in the US Open. So they decided against it. It might be lacking a little bit without those three players that you mentioned, Sinner, Alcaraz, and Coco.
Wildcard teams as well. So Carlos could be telling the USTA,
exactly.
I might play hold one. Same with Serena Williams, right? She might.
Do you think? I think they'll probably hold one for those two players.
Yeah. Well, could you imagine Alcaraz, Serena Williams team up?
That'd be good.
That would just break the internet. Speaking of Carlos, are we loving his new hairdo or are we loving his new hairdo with the cornrows?
You like it more than I do.
He's got that Federer vibe to him where like anything he does is cool. He can do no wrong with anything he does in life. But you're saying you don't like it. You don't like it.
I do like it better than the poofy stuff he was going. I mean, his hair, he had a lot of hair going.
Yeah, I like the poof too, actually. That'd be my favorite.
What is the process of getting that? Do you know, Sam?
The cornrows?
Yeah.
No, I would love to do it myself. But, well, first of all, you got to grow the poof out pretty long to even be able to do it.
Yes, you do. Yeah, so that's what he's been doing. He had this planned all along, I think, for the US Open.
You think he's going to keep that for the Open?
I think so.
Oh, it's what a look. I mean, holy smokes. I'd be so scared to do that. He is... Right now, he's the second favorite to win the US Open. He's ahead of Zverev. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised at that just because he has not played a tournament since Barcelona when he pulled out. I would have thought Zverev would actually be ahead of him right now in the odds favorites.
I would have thought so too. I mean, like the only thing we've seen from Carlos is just a couple of videos from him hitting balls. He's finally, it seems like he's hitting forehands 100%, which is the... side everyone was worried about, but he seems to have gotten over this injury. But I'm with you. But we'll see how he does in Cincinnati. If he can get a lot of matches in Cincinnati, then he should be in just fine shape.
Oddsmakers might have seen the hairstyle and thought this man is confident, and we're going to up the odds with the cornrows. Other news this week: the Laver Cup teams have been announced. That's 2 weeks after the US Open. Here's Team Europe. Zverev, Alcaraz, Caboli, Casper Ruud, Menchik, Hodar. No Sinner. Again, he's never played Laver Cup. It's a bummer. Yeah. I really want him to play Laver Cup.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how.
I'm with you. I want him to play. He hadn't played it.
And I don't know how he decides why he does or doesn't play. He's playing the Six Kings Slam, the thing in Saudi Arabia for the third time, but not Laver Cup. Laver Cup's it's in London this year. If he's coming from Europe, from Monte Carlo, from Italy, it is an easy event. Travel wise for him to go play, but obviously he does whatever is best for his schedule. That's what he does. He's not even playing Canada this week, and we thought maybe he'd go for all nine Masters series. So a calendar is set, and that is what he's doing. Team World, we have Demonar, Shelton, Fritz, Bublik, Lerner Tien, Tommy Paul. Who do you early prediction for Laver Cup, Team World, or Team Europe?
I like Team World because I feel like they can field better doubles teams, like for sure. Like that, I mean, that's just
like way better.
The doubles, exactly. And the doubles is so important. So like maybe the singles edge is like ever so slightly to Team Europe, but we saw Fritz how he took out Alcaraz last year in San Francisco. And this format, the singles, it's always favored Team World. Just got to win one set, then you get into a tiebreaker, then it's basically a coin flip from there. So I like Team World. They're starting to even this thing out a little bit.
I do too. And also with Fritz, Shelton, Bublik, there's just those are guys that if they play well, make a lot of first serves, are so dangerous. Yes, they can. The results can dip, but those are three intimidating guys to have on your team.
Yeah, for sure.
That's kind of that's major news right there. Let's move on. Major opinions. Stevie stats. Stevie has left us, but I'm going to read the Stevie stats. But I don't know if we said he's working Montreal this week at Tennis Channel, so he had to dip out he's on TC Live with Danielle Collins and Steve Wiseman the next week. But he was going to give us this. Fritz could be the eighth player this year to win a title after saving match point along the way. He took a save match point against Mickelson. Mickelson had a match point in that match, by the way, missed a second serve return.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that.
We talk about Mickelson here in the finals.
We'll see how that shakes out. You have something to say before your bot of the week?
No, I'm going to go on to my bot of the week.
All right, give us your bot of the week.
All right, we're going back to DC with Fritzy, who Fritz wants to be a bot. He always comes up to me, and he's always like, I want you to consider me as a first-team bot guy. I've never given it to him, but he serves so well. He's had 51 aces up until this point through four matches. He's won over 80% of his first serve points, or he won 84% of his first serve points against Mickelson in the quarterfinals, saved two break points at 5-all in that third set. Also saved match point as we know that as well in the tiebreaker. Yeah. Fritzy's has been botting pretty well in DC. 51 aces through four matches is pretty darn good.
It is. My query of the week, I'm still kind of coming up with one, but I want to talk about Bernard Tomic real quick. We saw him in Lord Tomic. He won a match 6-1, 6-0, right? He beat a Mexican wildcard 1-0 in 46 minutes, turned around the next couple days later, and then lost to Cam Nori 6-1, 6-0 in 56 minutes. Not surprising with this guy. I mean, you just never know.
Can we talk about, we were doing something for social before his quarterfinals match,
yeah,
and they were kind of asking us, like, who do you think is going to win the tournament? And like Stevie said, Chapo, I said Cam Nori. You said Bernard Tomic.
Well, first of all, I want to say someone different than you two. It's not
okay, but you went with Bernard Tomic.
Well, to be fair, at the time he had won a challenger the week prior and was in the quarterfinals. He beat
Kochnov. But it's Tomic.
It's Tomic. Like, no, believe me, I didn't feel good about it when I said it. But we needed a different answer in that one. But man, what a lunatic in such a fun way.
Yeah.
Tomic.
But yeah, made a quarterfinals. Like first time he made a quarterfinals in 8 years or something like that.
Right. Who knows with this guy? Let's move over to transition game. Montreal and Toronto start. They actually started yesterday. You know, of course, they started on Sunday, these 12-day events. No one knows what's going on. This has been the event now over the years where it's kind of open to anyone can win it. It's that event after the clay court swing, after the grass court swing. The top guys don't seem to play a lot. Same thing this year with no Carlos, no Yannick, no Novak. Fognini actually had a great quote the other day. Nowadays, anybody can win a Masters title. In my time, Roger, Rafa, and Novak wouldn't skip any. It was impossible. What he said is exactly true. We have a chart in front of us. Roger, Rafa, and Novak basically won every Masters title for a 10-year period.
Yeah,
he's correct in saying like there is an argument now that it is open. You know, there's 15 guys that can win Toronto week. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to start with Felix, he's the 2 seed hometown Canadian. Did you like playing events when in Atlanta? Obviously you did like playing there. You won it a bunch of times, but did you like when it was like, all right, this is like kind of a hometown event. I'm the top seed. Everyone's cheering for me. Or would you prefer to be more of an underdog and not have people behind you?
No, I preferred to play in places where I was comfortable. I mean, it's like all of us. We all played well in the States. And sometimes that can work against you if you have, like, if you want to call it hometown crowd. Like, Felix certainly has that in Montreal. Yeah. I mean, like, he is from Montreal. He's not from Toronto. He's not just playing in Canada. No, he's playing in his hometown. Yes, obviously everyone wants to see you win. That can sometimes work against you. And Felix actually hasn't played that well in Canada over the years either. Neither has Chapo, really. But no, you'd rather have that support. It can spur you on so well, even having that crowd support, even when you're not feeling your best on the court. So Felix has a real shot. As we know, it's the number two seed. Of course he does. But that crowd on his side, I see Felix going really deep here.
Yeah, three of the last four champions, Carreño Busta, Popren, Shelton. Not that those all aren't great players, especially Shelton.
I forgot about Carreño Busta winning
Montreal. Carreño Busta won in 2022. How about Popren? Popren won in 2024.
He was in qualies this year. Yeah,
he was in qualies. One round of qualies, by the way, in Montreal.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. They're just making stuff up there. It is a bummer that Sinner is not playing there. That was like a great storyline this year with Sinner. Sinner has won Indian Wells, Miami, Monte Carlo, Madrid, Rome. So everyone started talking. There's a chance he can win all nine Masters series. I was bummed when he didn't play Canada. I thought that would be something that would be on his mind, because that, I know a casual sports fan wouldn't really get that, but if you're a tennis fan and someone were to win all nine Masters series in 1 year, that would be like one of the most amazing feats in tennis history. We're not going to get it this year because Sinner is not playing in Canada. It's kind of a huge bummer, don't you think?
It's a huge bummer. He could still go undefeated in Masters events this year.
Yeah.
And we saw the stat on our rundown here. No man has won both since 2013.
Toronto and Canada and Cincinnati.
So we talk about like the Sunshine Double. That's really hard to win. Well, this is maybe even harder to pull off. Winning in Canada and then winning in Cincinnati. It's all about like these top guys, all about ultimately like just being perfectly cooked for the US Open when it comes around.
Yeah.
And so you got to imagine Sinner, we'll see him deep into Cincinnati. It's disappointing that he's not playing Canada, but without all this star power, like Montreal, I think maybe even more so than Toronto, like their fans are nuts. Like they're going to have a great tournament all week long. They love their tennis up there.
Another good storyline this week in Canada is Zverev. Weirdly enough, if you've been paying attention, he's only 1,400 points behind Sinner in the race. As dominant as Sinner has been, he's only 1,400 points behind. Let's say Zverev goes to Canada and wins Canada, which he's the favorite to win it. He would only be 400 points behind Sinner in the race for number one. And then you never know what can happen the rest of the year. I mean, Zverev had an incredible year. Pretty soon here, if he keeps up if he has a good result in Canada and another good result in Cincy, he could be in the talk for like a year-end number one. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean he was closing in on being world number one. He had a look the year he hurt his ankle against Rafa, like at that, like he never, not year in, excuse me, world number world one, number not one. Year in. I apologize. He's never gotten to number one, although he was extremely close and he was hurt during that time. So he couldn't get there. He would have had he not been hurt. So yeah, I mean, this is something he's certainly gunning for. It's great to see Zverev out there playing every one of these Masters events. He's such a workhorse.
Totally.
And we see him there again in Montreal.
The women's event in Toronto is packed. Everyone's playing. I feel like the women, because they don't have maybe a Laver Cup or the Six Kings Slam, you know, the women are committed to Toronto or Montreal, wherever it is. And they have an incredible field. All of the women are there. That's going to be a great event. We're going to break that down next week. But for us, that's our Monday show. That's the recap. Thursday show, by the way, we have Eva Leese on. You and I had a great interview with Eva Leese last week. Really
She's
fun.
She's up in Toronto right now. Exactly.
She's in Toronto. Check that out on Thursday. And we will see you guys then. Hit the like and subscribe for the suits.
Yeah, we like that.
All right. See you in 3 days. The same as for John. The same for Sam. Stevie J.
Jay won the bronze, but none was slammed.